Afnam Nun Aleph Omid Beis, the first mission in the fifth perek. Bamebehem Yotza, just a little bit short introduction. Just like there's a mitzvah for a person himself to be shoveis from Alech on Shabbos, so too there's a mitzvah of Shvisas Behemto. And therefore, he has to prevent a situation where his animal will be carrying a burden going out into the public domain. Because Meleches Hotza, from one rishus to another, is violated, so to speak, by the behemoth. When the behemoth goes out and it's carrying something, which is... Now, the language here, I just want to point out, of the Masifta here, just to quote to you his introduction, he says, Mikomakoma behemoth yotzeis, Kisha aleha dover shal yodo himishtameres biyad baila shu eno choshev masa. It's even though we said that for the animal to carry a burden out in Rishus HaRabim, that is a violation of Shvisas Behemto and the mitzvah of Shvisas Behemto, which, by the way, is as machlokas whether it's derived from the pasuk lo sase kol molocha to bincho vitecha avdecha v'mosu v'shorcha v'chamorcha v'chol behemtecha, or from the pasuk l'man yaduach shorcha v'chamorcha, which means that the pasuk lo sase kol molocha etc. etc. is referring to the isur machamir when a person leads his animal while it's carrying a burden. But there's at very least an isur asay that's derived from l'man yaduach shorcha v'chamorcha. And that's in the case where the animal is carrying a burden through Rishus HaRabim. However, if the animal is going out with something which is necessary for the Bailim to watch and guard the animal, the reins of the animal, and that's in the hands of the owner of the animal, that's not considered a masa. So that the subject of our Mishnah, and even beyond that Mishnah, is to determine what is necessary to be around the animal and to fit the category described as al yodo hi mishtameres. Through this thing, we'll call it reins right now, and we're going to have to go into detail, the animal is mishtameres. The animal is now protected. And the other possibility would be perhaps the animal could carry something around its neck that's a tachshit, that's linoi, that's for beautiful, that's for beauty, and if it's something that's darka, it's something that's regular for an animal to go out with, that's not considered a masa either. And we're looking for a case where we violate this prohibition of the owner letting the animal do work on Shabbos and allowing his animal to carry a burden through a Rishus HaRabim, or for that matter, from a private Rishus HaYochid into a Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa. And the whole question is, what constitutes a masa? Is it only the animal's load that it schleps, or is it possibly its gear? Or is the gear, insofar as it's used to control the animal, that's not considered masa, and therefore the animal could go out with us on Shabbos? What would be considered gear, G-E-A-R, as we said in Hebrew, al yodo habehema mishtameres? So the Mishnah says the following, b'me behema yotza, u'b'me eina yotza, and this Mishnah is going to address the first question, b'me behema yotza, what is permitted for the animal to have this gear on its body, shemishtameres al yodo. And we're going to have a lot of Hebrew words and later on Aramaic words that have to be translated. And I'm always vacillating back and forth as to whether we should translate them into Hebrew or translate them into English. Maybe we'll try to do both if possible. I don't want to burden you with long discourses, but we have to understand what's going on. So, for example, in the case of the gamal, we're talking about a camel. And it's a male camel. We're going to get to a female camel a little bit later on. And Yotzei HaGamal Bi'Afsar. And afsar is a pretty well-known word in Lashon Kodesh. Rashi seems to translate it as a chevel, some sort of a rope or a string that's tied around the animal's neck. And this string at the other end is being held by the bailiff, and he's controlling the animal. In English, it's called a halter, H-A-L-T-E-R. And that's, again, something that's used with the length of this rope, the end of which is tied around the animal's mouth, or the animal's neck, is used to lead the animal. That's not a masa, and that could be worn by a camel. Later on, the Gemara is going to apply to other animals as well. And now we get to the female camel, which is called in Lashon Kodesh the Naka, and Yotzeis Bechatam. So the female animal is called in fancy English a dromedary, and it goes out with a chatam. And a chatam, apparently, again we're going to have to see the sugya, is something that goes through its nose. And the female animal is more wild and has to be controlled. We need a little bit more profound control. And that's called a chatam, Miloshen Chotem. And as I said before, the Gemara is going to analyze what this is. Then there's something called Luvdikim. Now, if you break down that word into its component parts, it starts with the word Luv. And Luv is a country on the face of the earth. And one of the things that country is famous for is its camels. And they're very, very wild. They really have to be controlled. And therefore, they're Yotzim Frumbia, which, again, the Gemara is going to interpret what Frumbia is. But once again, it's something that's even more profound of a control than an afsar or a chatom. And that's because the animal is more difficult and challenging. And then we get to a sus. And a sus can go out with a share. A share in English is called a collar. And it's something that goes around the neck of the horse. In modern Hebrew, it's called a tzamid. Tzamid is any sort of like a necklace or bracelet. Here it's a tzamid that goes around the neck of the horse. And this tzamid is like a tabas. It's like a ring around the neck. And they put a ring in the ring. You know, there's a ring that goes around the neck, and in front is a ring on the ring. And that's a tabas. And in the tabas, they put some sort of a strap, which allows the owner to control the horse. And that's called a share in the language of the Mishnah. Fine. Then the Mishnah says, again, we'll see that other animals, as the Mishnah goes along, are used something that is a share, but lenoi, for beauty. Like, for example, dogs very often have beautiful collars, and yotzim b'share. The Mishnah says, kol bale hasher yotzim b'share, v'nim shachim b'share. So these are animals that wear a collar, and you can go out with them with the collar on. You could be pulling the animal with the collar. And as we said before, these are collars that are worn by, let's say, dogs or smaller animals as adornment, as noi. And that also is mafkia. It removes and undermines the status of masa, and therefore there's no prohibition to let the owner hold on to this collar and let the collar be on the dog or whatever animal it is, and this is a collar for beauty. Now, the Tzlach of the Nod Vihud is quoted here in the footnote as saying that the Tana of HaMishnah could have simply said, Kol Behema Yotza V'Meshet Darko Lishtomer. It's not so clear that the Mishnah had to go into great detail about each category, each species of animals. It could have been a general statement of Kol Behema Yotza V'Meshet Darko Lishtomer. But perhaps the Mishnah wants to tell me a Chiddush, says the Tzlach, when it says, like, for example, Gamal B'Afser V'Naka B'Chotom. In order to teach us that there's a difference between a male camel and a female camel. And in the case of Luvdokim Befrubia, the Mishnah wants to tell us a Chiddush that with regard to these donkeys that come from Luv, the Luvdokim, that's not included in the general category of donkeys, of Chamorim, that require nothing more than an Afsar, not a Frumbia. But a frumbia is necessary in the case of Luvdikim, of these animals, these donkeys that came from Luv, as we said before, they need a more profound shmira than a regular chamor biafsar. Again, this touches on a major sugya that we're going to get to soon about what's called shmira yisera. What happens if you overshoot, you overcorrect, so to speak? But we'll get to that a little bit later. Now we have Umazin Aleihem. This already touches on other dinim, which have to do with Tumas Mes. And we're talking about sprinkling the Mechatas of the Paraduma on the collar, even when they're on the animal's neck. And you might have thought that there's a very little small slice of airspace between the collar and the animal's neck. And therefore, the Mechatos is going to find itself in a Chatzitza situation. But the Mishnah says, no, it's not called a Chatzitza. V'tovlin bimkomon. And even as far as the Kli itself, if the share is in an Ola Mes, and it therefore contracted to Tumas Mes, and it requires Tefillah, you can do the Tefillah while this share, this collar is around the neck of the animal. You don't have to remove it before the Hazor, before the Tevilah. And the animal is going to go into the water, Rashi explains, and as a result, you'll be matbil the shear shaleha, the share shaleha, the share that's around the neck of the animal. And the Gemara later on at Dafnun Beis is going to analyze this halacha of loosening this collar around the neck of the animal before the tefillah, because if it's really too tight, then there will be a chatzitza. Now we're up to the Gemara. My naka bechatam. What is the naka and what is the chatam with which she goes out into Rosh Hashanah? Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Nakasa Chivarti. This white naka goes out bismama de parzala. A white female camel, as we said before, it's called a dromedary, goes out with a nose ring that's made bismama de parzala of iron. And this is a nose ring, a tabas, that's put into the nostril of the animal's nose, and that's how it's mishtayer al yidei baila, mishtameres biyad baila. And we have a little picture of this nose ring here in the Masifta. Now, the naka has a natural propensity to run, and to, as a fugitive, runs away, and therefore it's very hard to control her and subjugate her, and therefore she needs a shmira ma'ula on a high level, much more than a male. For a male, it's enough to have the afsar, which we said was the halter, but in the case of the female, it's not going to be guarded and protected by an afsar unless it has this tabas around the nose, this nose ring. Now the Gemara wants to know What is the next part of the Mishnah? Luvdikin bifrum bia. Amar Rav Huna says chamara luva. This is a Lubian donkey from the country, the state of Luv, and it goes out bipagi de parzala with a resen, which is a rein, which is made of metal, of iron, because these Luvian donkeys are very, very strong, and they need the appropriate shmira to subjugate and control the animal. And once again, we have a picture here, I wish I could show it to you, of what's called a pagi. There's a pagi and a base pagi. The base pagi is that round strip that goes around the mouth, and it connects to the reins with the pagi. The pagi is that point which connects the base pagi, the strap around its mouth, with the rein itself, with the string itself. So we've got the case of the female camel, which needs a nose ring, and now we have the case of the donkeys that come from Luv, and they need this base pagi de parzala, this iron bit. And as we indicated before, you know, when you have a ring inserted to the nose, the camel's nose, and through that hole you lead the camel with a leash that's attached to the ring, and that's because this female dromedary is very hard to control, much harder than other animals. It has a greater tendency, Rashi says, to flee, requires more powerful restraint. And the Luvdiki is a donkey that originates from the country of Luz, and is actually, Rashi says, a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim Beis that refers to this Luvdiki. Tos identifies Luv as Egypt, and the Luvdikin is the plural form of the noun Luv. And Luvdikin are bigger and more aggressive than other donkeys, and therefore they need a greater strain, a greater restraint, a bit, as we said, which is called a pagi. Now the Gemara tells us a little bit of a story about Levi, the Amora Levi. Shadir zuze lebecho zoi lemizmin le chamora de Luv. He sent money to the people who lived in Bechazoi that they should buy on his behalf a chamor, which is coming from Luv, which is the best donkey in the business. However, the members of Bechazoi didn't want to go and buy him this chamor because they were very far away from him, and they would have to send this chamor all the way from Bechazoi back to Levi. And therefore what they did was, Saru, they gathered together the money that he sent to them. V'shadrule Sa'ari, they sent him a whole bag of these coins with barley inside. And there was a subliminal message here. L'meimar, to tell Levi, D'nigre d'chamra Sa'ari, that the walking, the moves of a chamor are determined by the amount of barley that it eats. If it eats the barley, then it'll be a very strong chamor, just as strong as a Luvian chamor. So their advice was, instead of this 6-month schlep in a caravan to get this donkey back to you in the mainland of Babylonia, instead just feed the animal locally bought plenty of barley, and you'll get an excellent donkey. And that's good enough. Okay. One second, let's just see if there's anything else that we need here. Yeah. Okay. Shadrulei Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Okay. The Gemara now goes back to the Mishnah. And we said that a donkey goes out with its afsar, which we identified as a halter, some sort of a collar. And the naka, which is more difficult goes out with this nose ring. And now the Gemara brings a question that Talmidim asked in front of Rebbe. What's the din in the opposite situation where, let's say, the gamal was taken out with the chatam, which was absolutely unnecessary in case of a male donkey, and the naka, the female, went out with an afsar, which is totally insufficient. The question about machlifin, if they switched it around, was asked to Rebbe. Shalzu bezu. Ma, what's the din in an afsar on a naka and a chatam on a gamal? So Amalem Rebbe. Rebbe says to his Talmidim, one thing I could be absolutely sure of, and you have no question, naka biafsa lo tiboy lecha. Don't ask me about a super duper protection. No, I'm sorry. Naka biafsar lo tiboy lecha kemi lo minter be masihoy. In an if it's less than the minimum protection, which would be the case of a halter, a collar for the naka, which is a female camel that's very, very difficult to control, is that for sure is a masoi. That's sure, for sure is a burden, because it basically accomplishes absolutely nothing. Kiti boilecha, the suffix that you could have, is gamal bechatam mai. What would be the status of a male camel if you overshot and you put a ring around its nose? And here the tut stud. Came under sagi lebi afsar, since all you need is the halter that goes around its neck, is therefore this chatam, this nose ring, masayhu. We didn't need the shmira ma'ula of a chatam. All we needed was regular shmira of an afsar, and therefore the chatam in this case is a masa. Oh, Dilmo, shall we say, nitirusi yiserta, lo amrina masayhu. If you overshoot, and you have even a superior, unnecessary shmira, nevertheless, that's considered a shmira. In other words, it does accomplish what you have to accomplish. Again, you didn't have to do it in that way. It's excessive, and you're shooting way beyond the target. But nevertheless, we should perhaps not consider it a masa. And that's the second side of lo amrina masa we have. Now, I have a note here in the name of the Rashba. The Rashba says that this suffix is only in a case of Shmira Yisera Ma'ot, that there's a significant overshooting, excessive, and therefore it's not Derech B'dei Adam to do it that way, and that's why the Gemara thinks, Rebbe thinks, that maybe it's a Masa. But something that a little bit overshoots the target, it's a shmira ma'at yosim in atzorech, that for sure is mutter. Because when people do shmira to make sure that their animal is subjugated and is not going wild and getting running amok, they don't carefully, meticulously weigh their shmira exactly to the point. But something that's excessive, that's where Rebbe had a suffix. Now Shmuel, when he reports this story about the question that was asked to Rebbe, he goes a step further, and he tells us a little bit more of the details of the story. Amar lefanav, at that moment, Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yossi, said, in the name of his father, to Rebbe, Kach Amar Abba, my father Rebbe Yossi, Arba Behemos Yotzos B'Afsar, this is what Rebbe Shmuel reports he heard from his father, that there are four categories of animals, let's call it species of animals, that go out with the collar around their neck. And apparently, as we go through the four, we'll see that the number four, in the way Rabbi Shmuel understood his father, Rabbi Yossi, is indicating that it's four and only four. Otherwise, the number seems to be unnecessary. So what are these four categories of animals? There's the sus, And it's interesting because in the case of the sus, the Mishnah said that the sus is besher. Here we're talking about an afsar, which is not as great of a shmira as sher. But nevertheless, the sus is darka, lotzeis b'shneim. Nobody's medagdik so much in the difference between a sher and an afsar. And then we get to a pered. Now, a pered is what we call a mule. And it's a crossbreed of two different species of animals, a horse and a donkey. And then we get to a gamal, which is a camel, and finally to the donkey, to the chamor. So now, Rabbi Shmuel asks, Lemute Mai, there must have been some very important reason that my dad, Rabbi Yossi, mentioned that there are four. Lav Lemute, should we not assume that it's coming to exclude Gamal Bechatom? In other words, the case of a male camel, and you gave it that extra shmira of a nose ring, which was absolutely unnecessary. And what Rabbi Yossi meant to tell us was that there are four behemoths, these four that are, and all you need is the shmira biafsar, and you're not let it go out with a shmira meula beta shmira. The gamal is listed amongst the four. And the implication is that it doesn't go out with a chatam. A chatam is totally unnecessary in your classic male camel. And that shmira yisera, that extra, as we said, overshooting, the excessive shmira, is considered a masa. And it's not included in the heter of the four species of animals that go out with an afsar. So Rebbe rejects this proof. Maybe that's not what your father had in mind. And Rabbi Yossi says, lo, he's not coming to be mamai to exclude a gamal with a chatom, but rather he's coming lemute a naka biafsar, where there was no sufficient shmira, because the naka, as we said before, this naka is a very flighty animal, very hard to catch it, and there are only four animals that could go up with an afsar, and they were b'shmara sal yodo, he can use this afsar to control the animal. In the case of naka, there's no way that you could protect the animal with an afsar. And therefore, when you put the afsar around the neck of the naka, and the naka now is going to float like a fugitive, just fly away in the sky, in the air, then you're not giving any shmira whatsoever. Your shmira is meaningless. It's not even a half a shmira. However, if you ask me about a gamal that's yotzei b'chatam, and you've excessively overshot the target, that shmira yisera is not considered a maso because it does accomplish shmira. That's the way Rebbe suggested interpreting the words of Rabbi Yossi. And now we want to bring a proof to the two tzadim in this suffek that was brought in front of Rebbe from a brisa. Masdisa Tana, we learned to the brisa, luv dekin, if you have a chambor, a donkey that comes from luv, the gamal, and if you have a camel yotzin, the afsar, and they go out with a collar, we should certainly derive from this brisa that a gamal has to go out dafka only with an afsar, not with a chatom. A chatom is an excessive shmira. And a shmira yisera is not considered a shmira, but rather it's considered a masi, and I'll let it go out with a chatam. Now this brisa, as Rashi points out, clearly indicates that an afsar is sufficient to control the Luvian donkey. That's against our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that you need a frumbia, some sort of a bit in its animal, because the Luvian donkey is a lot stronger, and a collar would not suffice. Now, Lechora, our Gemara should have quoted this price as a proof that excessive restraint is permitted. Because if our Mishnah allows something stronger than a halter, meaning the frumbia in the case of the Luvian donkey, and yet the Brisa clearly indicates that it would be sufficient to use a halter. So l'chora, we now have a proof from our Mishnah itself that excessive restraint, shmir yiserta, is not considered a masa and it's mutter. So the Rishonim answer that in the case of the Luvian donkey, you could really make a close comparison between the afsar and the frumvia shebefia. Both the halter and this bit around its mouth are very similar, and there's no excessive difference between the two of them. And as we said before, when people control their animal to restrain the animal, they're not so meticulous to make that distinction. Whereas the Gemara's suffek concerns a restraint that's significantly excessive, as we said before, in the name of the Rashba. So now at this point, the Gemara seems to assume, based on this Braisa, that a Gamal could go out with an Afsar, and that's sufficient Shmira, but not with excessive Shmira, which is a Chatam. That would not be permitted, that becomes a Masa. And that's the way the Riff and the Rush seem to interpret this quote from the Brice. Now the Gemara goes back to the fundamental Shmir Yisera issue and claims it's Machlokas Tanoim Kitanoi. Hoye Yotza Ein Chaya Yotza Bisugar. In other words, a Sugar, as far as a Chaya is concerned, is considered Shmira Yiserata, and therefore it's considered a masa, you're not allowed to use it. So this is the collar of a rope, a suga kolar shel chevel, and according to Tanakam, it's considered masa, it's a violation of Shabbos, but Chananya omer yotza besugar, you can let the beast go out with this collar of rope. And not only that, b'chol dover hamishtamir, and anything that does an adequate shmir. V'may askina, what's the case? And we have to justify this machlokas tanoim recorded in the Brice. Elam, if it's a case of chaya gedola, it's a gigantic animal, like a bear. Mi sagila, would it be enough to control it with a sugar, which is some sort of a rope and a, you know, a collar of a rope? You're talking about a bear, a grizzly bear. Is then, since it's not meaningful at all, it should be considered a masa. How could Chananya say that you're allowed to go out with this beast with simply a collar of a rope? Ella, but on the other hand, we must be, by proselytization, talking about a chayek tana, small animal, let's say a little weasel. In such a case, if it's a small beast, which is called in English a marten, we call it a weasel, is then milo sagila? Now, at this point, we don't understand the Tanakama of Chananya in this Braisa. Wouldn't it be certainly sufficient to have this rope collar in order to control these small animals? And why did the Tanakama say that ein chaya yotza besugar? Why not? Elolav chatul ikar beinai. The machlokas here between Tanakama and Chananya is something like a cat. And a cat is not too small, but it's not too large as well. And the question is, can you go out with a, what do we call it, a ring collar? A ring collar, correct? Or a rope collar, maybe that would be a better term. And the nature of a cat is such that it doesn't want to run away so fast. You know, a cat likes to be petted, or maybe given milk and so forth. So you don't need such a shmira like you would for a weasel. And Tanakama Sava, therefore, came into Sakila b'misna b'alma. All you need is a small rope. You don't need this collar around its neck. Is therefore the rope collar is considered a masri because it's excessive shmira. According to Chananya, the fact that it's excessive shmira, it's not necessary for a cat. Nevertheless, it's still considered shmira, and it's not a masa. So we have machlokas tanoim now in the case of excessive overshooting the target of shmira, whether it's considered a masa. Now Shmuel is going to paskin the halacha lemaisa with regard to this shmira yisera concept. Omar Rav Huna bar Chiya Omar Shmuel halacha kechananya. So, for example, in the case of a chatul, a cat, you can take it out with this rope collar, even though it's not necessary. And for that matter, anything that is shmira yisera is not considered a masa. And the Gemara later on in Daf Nun Beis is going to quote a machlokas as to how we paskin la locha, but we have now the tradition of Shmuel that the locha is like Chananya, and therefore excessive shmira is not considered a mas, it's mut. The Gemara now quotes an actual maisa, which is relevant to this discussion that we have. Levi Brei de Rav Huna bar Chiya, v'Rama bar Rav Huna. The two great Amoraim were on the derech, on the road. Everyone, each one of them, was riding a donkey. And on their way, Kadmei Chamor de Levi Lechamor de Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Now keep in mind that Levi is a Talmud of Rabba Bar Rav Huna. And there's a halacha that a Talmud doesn't go in front of his Rebbe. And in this case, the Chamor of Levi shot up ahead of the Chamor of Rabba Bar Rav Huna. And Rabba Rav Huna didn't know that the Chamor did it on its own. The Rabbah suspected that maybe Levi had given it a real zetz, a real kick, and therefore it shot up in front of him. And Cholish died through the Rabbah Bar Rav Huna. So Rabbah Rav Huna has certain Chalish Adas, thinking that Levi is putting himself as the gadol in front of him. Omar. So Levi says to himself, I'm going to have to indicate something in some way to Rabbah that I didn't do this deliberately, that he shouldn't be makbid and shouldn't have chalish sadas. It happened because of the chamor itself. It wasn't my fault. Omar, emo le milsa. I'm going to tell him something. Ki hechi. And here we turn to Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Sosiv daite. Kedei liyashev is daite. I'm going to somehow calm him down, that he'll understand that it wasn't me who deliberately tried to get in front of him, but the Chamor did it by itself. Amar le. So he says to Rabbah Bar Rav Huna, we learned, and this is a brice that we had before on Daf Nun Aleph, that a Chamor, a donkey, yotze bi'afsar shavo, because that's enough for its shmira. And from via, which is an iron kind of a rein, it's a shmira u that goes beyond an afsar, and we don't take the animal out in a frumvia. I'm talking about a regular classic chamor. So the question now is, and this is a question Levi posed to Rabbah Bar Rav Huna, chamor shasakov asakov ra'im, what do you do in the case of a donkey that doesn't behave itself? It's a wild animal, way beyond the normal chamor, and it needs shmir ma'ula. It needs excessive shmira. And I'll give you an example. Take a look at my donkey. Mahu, lotzeis b'fruvia b'shabbos. For the sake of this particular animal, which is misbehaving and is unusually wild, can we allow a frumvia shebefia? You know, allow putting this base pagi around its mouth in order to control it. And this is the way that Levi transmitted to Rabbah Bar Huna this subliminal message that his chamor was not behaving. It was asok of Rayim, and it was getting wild, and that's why it went ahead of him. Amalei, so Rabbah Bar Huna answered Levi on his question, Hachi Amar Avuch Mishmei de Shmuel. This is what I heard from your father in the name of Shmuel. From Rabbah Bar Chiya in the name of Shmuel, halacha kechananya. The Chananya holds that a chaya yotzeis pisogar, right? Do we get that the pronunciation right? Pisugar, let's pronounce it right, which we say this was the kolar shel chevel. And we understood from Hananya that Shmir Me'ula is allowed. So that, forget about your question about your particular donkey, which is unusually active and wild, but even a regular classic donkey is allowed to be taken out by Frumvia, with this bit around its mouth, even though that's a Shmira, you say it's not necessary, but you can consider that still Shmira, and the halacha is like Hananya. And for sure, it's unquestionable that your chamor, which is even worse, it's a sock of Rabim, certainly is allowed to go out with this bit around its mouth. Now, in the case of a goat is a little bit different than other animals. It's not listed amongst those animals that go out the afsar with the collar around its neck. Its head is shaped a little bit differently. It's thin. And the head is not even wider than its neck. So there's no way really of putting an afsar around its neck in a way that, the afsar would not be able to hold on to the neck of the animal. And therefore, by its very nature, when you want to hold on to this goat, if you use this afsar and it jumps around from one side to the other, so the Chachamim think that if you put an afsar around the neck of a goat, you know, what's going to happen is that because the goat, you know, shakes off the afsar, so to speak, therefore the one who's holding on to it, if he doesn't pay attention, he's going to continue to hold on to the afsar and pull it towards himself while he's walking, and he doesn't realize that the afsar is no longer attached to the neck of the goat. And lo and behold, he's carrying the afsar, Dalet Amos and Rishus HaRabim. So therefore the Gemara is now going to suggest a way in which you can hold on to the goat with an afsar and not have to be afraid that the afsar will get loose and he'll end up carrying the owner of the goat, he's ending up carrying the afsar, Dalet Amos and Rishus HaRabim. Tana de Bei Menashe, we found it a Brice in the base Medrash of Menashe, Eiz Shechakak La Nekev Bein Karneho Yotza Bi Afsar B'Shabbos. So he has to sort of puncture a hole between the two horns of the goat, and then if he ties around the afsar, he could be absolutely guaranteed, he doesn't have to worry that the afsar is going to get loose, because in this case it's tied firmly around the horns. So again, as we said before, the owner of the goat carves out holes between the horns of the goat, and as a result, he can go out with the halter on Shabbos by cutting holes in the horns and inserting the halter into the holes. He has no problem, and he can go out with the halter. Because if it's attached in this manner, then it's not going to get loose. So we don't have to worry about him carrying it. Dalet Amos Rishus HaRab. Boy Rav Yosef. What about, here's the suffix of Rav Yosef, Tochav La, if he puts the afsar through Zekana, through literally, if we translate it as the beard, the goat's beard. And what he does is he ties up the goat's beard into a kind of a loop. He threads the halter through this loop. And the question is, should we be afraid that the afsar will get loose? He'll be able to shake off the afsar and then end up with carrying the afsar. So here's how Rav Yosef formulates the Tut Stadim in his Suffolk. Kevan de'imen atach lay la ka'iv lay. On the one hand, we should say that if the goat will jump around in order to try to get loose, it's going to hurt her in the beard, because this afsar, this halter, is actually, you know, threaded, so to speak, penetrated through the beard, and the hairs of its beard are gonna just simply get ripped off when it jumps around this way and that way. Therefore, lo asyal in tucha, the goat is going to be controlled. It's not going to jump around and try to cut itself loose from the officer. So we don't have to worry about the officer getting loose and he's carrying the officer in Rosh Hashanah. Oh, Dilma. Or shall we say, no, you're not allowed to do it that way because we have to be Choshesh Zimnin on certain occasions, Rafi V'Nofel. That perhaps the knot that he ties through, you know, through the beard of the goat will be weak and it'll fall off. And as a result, the halter, the officer itself, is going to fall off. Teku. And this the Gemara leaves as an unanswered question. Now back on Daf Nun Aleph, we had a discussion about Shmir Yisera. And we quoted a machlokas about this between Rav and Shmuel. Tnan Hasam, we have a Mishnah later on, a Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, with regard to a para, a cow. V'lo teitzei para biritzua shebein karneha. Now, if we translate that Mishnah literally, a cow may not go out with a strap between its horns. And the Gemara now quotes a machlokes amoraim with regard to this Mishnah of the strap between the horns of a cow. Omar Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba pligi ba Rav Shmuel. A machlokes regarding this Mishnah and explaining this Mishnah between Rav and Shmuel. Chad Omar, according to one opinion, Bain, whether nitna ritzua ben karnel linoi, ubein nitna ritzua ben karnel kedei l'shamer osa, asur. According to one opinion, I'm going to guess it's going to be Rav, let's see if I'm right. If the strap is between its horns, then whether or not the strap was there for controlling the cow or for decoration of the cow, it's forbidden. That for the sake of decoration, we don't decorate cows. That's not normal, and therefore it's a masui. But if it's meshamer, if it controls the cow, then it is permitted. And even though this is excessive, this is called Shmir Yisera in its restraint, nevertheless, it's not considered a masa, and it's mutter. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef now wants to clarify who's the one who's matir and who's the one who's oser. And he wants to prove that Shmuel is the matir. Omar Rav Yosef is tayim to Shmuel hu di omar linoy osur, but l'shamer mutter. Which would mean by possible elimination that Rav would hold Bein Linoi, Bein L'Shamer Asur, whereas Shmuel would allow it in the case of L'Shamer. So again, everybody agrees that we don't decorate the cows in this way. That's out of the question. And that would be a Masa. But as far as L'Shamer is concerned, Rav Yossi wants to prove that Shmuel would allow it, even though it's excessive, it's Shmir Yisera. The Omer of Hun of Archia, Omer Shmuel, Halacha Kechananya. If you recall, back on Daf Nun Aleph, we quoted in the name of Rav Huna that Shmuel paskin like Hananya. Hananya said, in the case of a cat, it could be yotzeis. You can allow to take the cat out in the what do we call it there? The see if I can get this right. In the case of the Sugar. Let's see if we can remember that sugar. You know, that was the rope around its collar. And there was no need to take the cat out with a rope around the collar. Yet Hananya said it's mutter. Even though it's Shmir Yisera, it's excessive restraint. Here too, in the case of a regular chamor, in the case of Fruvia, when you put the bit around it, that's all Shmir Yisera. And now, we're applying the same logic to a case of a cow, when he puts a strap between the horns of the cow in order to tie down the cow and control and restrain the cow, that's mutter according to Shmuel. And Shmir Yisera is mutter. And all this is based on Hananya. Now Shmuel paskins halakha Hananya, and therefore, as far as Shmira is concerned, if he decided the way he wants to do Shmira is the Ritzua ben Karnov, in the case of a cow, a strap between its horns, that's mutter. Now the Gemara is a kasha on Rav Yosef. L'chora, we can prove the exact opposite. Shmuel is the one who holds that Shmiri Seira is prohibited. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Adarav. On the contrary, Tistayim, I'll prove to you, the Shmuel who diomar, Shmuel is the one who holds that Bein Lenoi u Bein Leshamer Osu. Then in the case of a strap between the horns of a cow, whether it's done for purposes of restraint or purposes of adornment, it's always going to be Osur and Shmira Yisera is Asura. The Omer of Yehudam Shmuel, back on the Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph, in the context of Gamal Yotze Beafsar, that you take out the camel with this collar around its neck, with the halter, as we called it, and now you tie around this string around its neck, or the case of the female camel, which goes out b'chatam with a nose ring, machlifin. Shmuel said that the question was raised in front of Lifnei Rebbe about machlifin, if you do the opposite racial zubazu. So he did the afsar on the nakeh, which is a shmir p'chusa. And he did the chatam on the gamal, which is a shmir yiseramal. What's the din? Is this mutter, or is it a mas and it's osur? And Shmuel said that he brought a proof that they brought in front of Rebbe a gamal b'chatam, which was a shmir yisera, omalafonam, and they said to Rebbe, the Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yossi, kach omar rabba, he says that this is what I heard from my father, Rebbe Yossi, arba behemos yotzi b'afsar, yotzos b'afsar, asus haperit agamal v'achamor. And afsar is the appropriate shmira that fits perfectly with these four categories of animals, and Rebbe Yossi seems to indicate that the number four is coming to exclude lav limute gamal b'chatam. So that Shmuel is quoting Rebbe as saying that the implication, well, I shouldn't say Rebbe, because here it's Rabbi Shmuel is talking. So Rabbi Shmuel is being medayik in his father's words, implying or inferring, I guess you should say, limute to exclude gamal b'chatam. That the, only these four animals whose appropriate shmir is afsar, therefore, you're allowed to go out with it. But in a case of shmira ma'ula, like, for example, excessive shmira in the case of a gamal b'chatam with this nose ring, that shmira is yisera, and it's asura. Now, Shmuel brought this as a proof. It would seem that he would advocate that halacha, that shmira is yisera, is asura. And therefore, he would interpret the Mishnah that you're not allowed to go out with a ritzua shenitna l'shmira. You know, in the case of the cow, and he's got this strap between the horns of a cow, that would be prohibited because that's excessive shmira. So this is a kashan Rav Yosef who insists that according to Shmuel, shmira yisera is considered mutter. It's still shmira. It's a yesh b'chal masayimona. So Gemara now defends Rav Yosef and says, Sami ha mekami ha. Let's take out one proof that was Shmira Yisera is Asura in light of the other proof that Shmira Yisera is Muteres. We can assume, according to Shmuel, says Rav Yosef, that he holds that Shmira Yisera Muteres. And he would interpret the mission of Para of Eni Yotze, Spirit Tzua, Shemen Karnea. That's only Linoi. But if it was for Shmira, even though it's an excessive Shmira, it would be Mutter. So Gemara says, Umaychos is Dimisameis Hod Mekameha, Sameha Mekameha. Why did you choose to prefer the Raya that Shmira Yisera is Muteres as opposed to the Raya that we brought that Shmira Yisera is Asura? What is better, one over the other? You know, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Mo. Which one do you want to choose? So Shmuel really might be holding that Shmira Yisera is Asura. And therefore the interpretation of the Mishnah of Parah is Bein Binoi Ubein Bishmira. It's prohibited. So the Gemara answers that Rav Yosef goes down the road, that pathway, that Shmuel holds Shmira Yisera is Muteris because, and again he has a Girsa problem, but the Ashkechanan that we found, that Shmuel says explicitly, Shmuel di Omar, Linoi Osul Shamir Mutar. We have an exact quote of Shmuel, that in the case of the horns and tying the horns, of the cow, that although it's also for adornment in that case, but for shmira, you know, tying the strap between the horns of the cow is mutter. And the cow go out like that into Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, even though clearly that's a case of shmira me'ula. De itmar, because we learned in the Beis Medrash that there was a machlok shin Rav and Shmuel about how to interpret the Mishnah with regard to the parah. Rabbi Chia bar Ashi Omar, he said in the name of Rav, Bein Linoi Ubein Lashamer Asur, which means that even in a case where his purpose in the strap between the horns of the cow is to guard and protect the cow, meaning to keep it subjugated, nevertheless it's Asur, Shmir Yisera is Asur. And Rabbi Chia bar Avinom b'shem Shmuel, that Linoi Asur Lashamer Mutar. So here we have an explicit statement in the name of Shmuel that Shmuel says l'shamer mutar, even in the case of the strap between the horns of a cow, which is certainly shmir yisera. So the Gemara now brings that Shmuel said explicitly that shmir yisera is muteres. We're stuck a little bit with Abai's proof because Abai said that from Shmuel's statement in the name of Rabbi Yossi that Arba Behemos Yotzes Ba'afsar, but Shmir Ma'ula is Asura Lotzes, for example, Gamal Bechatom. So we're going to have to answer that Shmuel, if you recall, back on Daf Nun Aleph, he added and he brought the Dechiyah, the rejection of Revi, that which Rabbi Yossi said, Arba Behemos Yotzes Ba'afsar, he wasn't coming to exclude Gamal Bechatom, which is Yishmir Yisera, but rather the case of Nakobe Afsar, which is Shmir Pchusa. And that could defend Shmuel, and now Shmuel is consistent. And Shmuel could pass like Hananya with regard to Shmir Ma'ula in the case of the cat. Meisve, the Gemara has a kasha now on Rav from a Mishnah in Masechta Parah with regard to a paraduma. And the Mishnah says, Kisharua ba'alea b'mosera k'shera. And what we're dealing with is the status of a paraduma and whether it remains k'shera. Because a paraduma is invalidated, it performs work if it's yoked, if you put a yoke on the animal. And here the owner of the paraduma tied a leash to the animal, and nevertheless, it's valid. If you're going to argue that because he tied the para, we'll call it a strap between the horns of the para, or in this case, he tied to a leash, and this is Shmir Yisera. And we said in the name of Rav that Shmir Yisera is considered a Masui and it's Asura B'Shabbos. He's Halkadakta Masui, who is then, how could the Mishnah possibly say Kshera? The Paraduma should now be Psula because the Pasuk says, Asher lo Allah Aleha Ol, Amar Achmona, upon which a yoke has never been placed. So Paraduma is only valid if it never carried a burden. And here it's carrying a burden because you tie it with a leash. Amar Abaye, b'molicha mi'ir li'ir. If the owner is leading the paradum from one city to another, and a cow tends to go back to its regular resting place, you know, you take it from one city to another, different city, you're going to have to hold on to it because it's going to keep turning back to its original city. So in such circumstances, a leash around the neck of the cow is not excessive restraint. It's normal, and therefore the paraduma still remains kshera. Rava offers another answer. Shiny para de domel yikarim. Para is different from other cows, a paraduma, because it's very expensive. And a cow, to be a paraduma, is so rare, it's priceless, and therefore it's got to be completely red. It's have to be born into the herd. And now one has to guard it with extreme care. And in this instance, putting this collar around the halter, which is called b'mosera, a leash, is not considered shmir yisera, Ravina Omar. Ravina gives a third answer, b'moredes. Maybe we're talking about an excessively rebellious cow, and because of its rebellious nature, a halter would not be considered Shmir Yisera, and therefore it's Kshera as a para Duma. And this leads us to the Gemara about Sus Besher. And we'll take a look at where we're up to now on Dafnun Beis Omid Beis, and we'll note the two dots, which is about two-thirds of the way down from the top of the page. Hasus Besher. And that, Amir Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow.